This is Talk of the Nation. I'm Neil Conan in Washington. The end of December is a time when we reflect on our flaws and failures over the past 12 months and resolve that things will be different come the new year. Many vow to lose weight or quit smoking, run a marathon, or take up skydiving, all laudable goals, but while we're reflecting, we might remember some very similar resolutions from the past that did not survive the first week in January. Today, we want to hear from those of you who made a resolution and kept it. What was it? How did you manage to do it? If you've developed a strategy to make resolutions you can keep, our number here in Washington is 800-989-8255. That's 800-989-TALK. And we have an email challenge for all of you creative resolution makers. Looking back on it, what resolution should you have made a year ago? To gain 5 pounds? Switch to cigars? And just to make it a bit more of a challenge, we want your suggestions in the form of a rhymed couplet. Here's an example. I promise to be downright horrible and ask the listeners to write doggerel. The email address is totn@npr.org. Again, a rhymed couplet about in what, in retrospect, you should have resolved to do this past year, totn@npr.org. Later in the program, a holiday retail wrap-up with Michael Namira, who's in the black, who's not, and why at the close of this shopping season. But first, resolutions kept. And let's welcome Amy Dickinson back to the program. She writes Ask Amy, the Chicago Tribune's syndicated advice column, and we might add, a former colleague here at NPR and a commentator for All Things Considered. She's with us from the studios of member station WAER in Syracuse, New York. Good to talk to you, Amy.
Hey, Neil.
Any resolutions that you made last year that you kept?
Well, I think of this as my holiday story of hope. I actually made a resolution last year, and I kept it.
What was it?
I resolved, as I have resolved every year since I was 14 years old, I resolved to become a runner. This is this unattainable goal for me because, as you may remember, Neil, I'm not exactly running material. But I'm kind of low slung. You know, I corner well, but I'm not very jackrabbity. So I made this resolution, and this year I kept it. And the way I kept it was I modified it in a way that suits a middle-aged, spreading woman.
So you lowered your goal a little bit.
I lowered my goal a little bit, and it's funny because I feel like I cracked the code. I get it now. I had been kind of seizing on the wrong goals. I had set my sights way too high. I was trying to go too far too fast. And what I've learned after a year of running almost every single day is that it's all about putting on my sneakers and leaving the house. That's kind of where it starts.
Yep. And the most difficult step is the first one.
Right. So what I did this year, I decided every day I'm going to put on my sneakers and leave the house. What happens after that? It's anyone's guess. But most of the time I end up trotting.
So it seems to be that a lot of this, at least in your case, is involved in how you structure your resolution.
Yes. I realized I was in a 30-year cycle of structuring my resolution. You know, it was way too tight. Really unattainable, and it wasn't quite. I needed to kind of break it down. You know how you have to break down your golf swing? I had to break it down.
And do bit by bit, and you know, make sure your backstroke was adequate as you stepped out of the sidewalk that first time.
Exactly. It's all about getting the sneakers on and leaving the house. Basically, very early in the morning. I also found, a very good time to do it. And every day at the same time, I go through this action. And how far I go, how fast I go, I realized that one mistake I made was I had these goals that were inappropriate for mm-hmm. me.
You thought you were going to be Greta Weitz.
I did. How'd you know? I also felt like it would be a mistake for me to talk or even think about, you know, training for a race. I think that really works for some people, but it didn't work for me. I will never be in a race. A race is a really, really bad idea for me because, you know, I'm kind of setting myself up for failure.
Mm-hmm. Now, it's so easy to get out and run in the middle of winter there in upstate New York.
Or in Chicago, yeah, where I live most of the time. Yeah, it's pretty easy.
Yeah.
I know.
All right, let's get some listeners involved in the conversation. Again, if there's a resolution you made and kept, call and tell us what it was and how you did it. 800-989-8255, 800-989-TALK. Email us, TOTN at NPR.org. If you have a rhymed couplet about a resolution that, in retrospect, you should have made at this time last year, and we'll go first to Pragati. And Pragati's calling from Saratoga, California.
Hi, Neil.
How you doing?
Good.
And was there a resolution you managed to keep?
Yes, I made a resolution to run my, or rather I should say walk my first marathon, and I was raising funds for a group called Asha for Education, which funds schools in India.
I see. So you had a lot to feel guilty about if you didn't do it.
Exactly, because people had made donations. I was supposed to raise about $2,300. I raised $3,300. And I have two boys, and of course they were kept on saying, "Mom, we are very proud of you. You're doing this."
So, and you managed to do it?
Yes, I managed to do it. This was on Halloween Day, and it was my older one's 12th birthday, and he did not mind that we would not celebrate his birthday, and his mom would be there doing the marathon.
And once you've done it, of course, you realize that finishing is the goal. Nevertheless, how long did it take you?
7.5 hours.
Congratulations.
Thank you so much.
Amy Dickinson, this seems to be a woman after your own heart.
You know what I love about this? She's involved school children, innocent children. You know, this could be some people, like, that's what it takes. You have to picture these faces of, all they want is a notebook, you know. So I think that was a great thing that she did. But I have a question. Is she still doing it?
Are you still walking, Pragati?
Yes, I am. In fact, I have become addicted to walking now. So if I do not walk, and my husband and children will vouch, I'm not in a good mood that day.
I love that.
Well, congratulations. And, of course, stay with it.
Okay.
Are you making a new resolution for this year, by the way?
I want to do a couple of half marathons.
So more or less along the same path then.
Exactly.
Okay. Good luck to you.
Thank you.
And Happy New Year.
Same to you guys.
Bye-bye.
Bye.
Neil, you know what else I like about this?
Mm-hmm.
She's doing something that she's already interested in doing. This is another aspect of making a resolution. Choose something that's possible for you and that's something that's kind of in the cards.
All right. Well, we've got some responses to our email challenge. And again, it's rhymed couplets for a resolution that you should have, in retrospect, done a year ago. I resolved to lose my hair. Rogaine might work, but I don't care. That from Mark Watkins in Columbus, Ohio. I might as well have a resolution I can keep no matter what, he adds. And here's one from Liam Palmer in Portland, Oregon. It's late December, and I wish I'd have read more. This year I'll aim low and try lying in bed more. Now, there's a goal we can all achieve, I think. As you think about resolutions, though, Amy, is it something that should be more about adding something to your life, your decision to go running, or something about subtracting something in your life? In other words, should one resolve to do things or stop doing things?
Well, I love goals that are a little bit action-oriented. I'm not one of those people that needs to stop doing anything because that would involve me just never getting out of bed. So I don't know. I guess for people, here's one I love. I know a lot of people who are kind of addicted to their Blackberries and their technology.
Uh-huh.
Turn it off during mealtimes. Like, you start small. Just turn it off, walk away during mealtimes, and try, you know, you see what that feels like. The world doesn't come to an end, and I would love to see people trying to wean themselves a little bit from these devices.
Let's get a caller in. This is Brian from Cleveland, Ohio.
Oh, hi.
Hi, Brian.
Love your show.
Thank you.
I made a resolution a few years ago that I was finally able to keep. I resolved never to again burn my mouth on hot food.
That's a good one.
Yeah, it's actually worked out. It's become a habit, and I haven't done it since.
How do you manage to keep yourself from burning your mouth on hot food?
Well, I think, you know, if you do something for a couple of weeks, they say it becomes a habit, and you know, once it became a habit, I don't even have to remind myself anymore. It just is something I sort of think of automatically every time I'm served.
So you blow on the cup of coffee or the cup of soup or whatever it is?
Yeah, you know what? It just forced me to wait a minute. You know, it's enhanced my life immensely.
Next step, maybe turn off the BlackBerry.
Yeah, I heard that one. That's a good idea.
Okay, Brian, congratulations.
Thank you very much.
What are you thinking about for this year, by the way?
This year, a little bit harder. This year, I resolved not to be sarcastic.
That's going to be a
toughie.
Because
he's blowing it, you know. As you've just got a couple more days, Brian.
Yeah, I know.
All right, Brian, Happy New Year.
Thank you, too. Bye.
So long. Let's talk with Chad. Chad's in Prescott Valley, Arizona.
Hey.
Hey, Chad.
I had kind of an interesting resolution because I was a runner, and I also liked chocolate quite a bit. And the holidays would come along, and I would always eat tons of chocolate, and it would kill my running. So I would try. I kept trying, okay, for this week I'm not going to eat any chocolate, and I couldn't do it. I was tempted constantly, and I always gave in. So finally I decided, you know what, how about I just go a whole year? And so I did it. Went a whole year without chocolate.
Hey, congratulations. I mean, that's a great achievement. But Amy, as I'm listening to him, this is the opposite of the, you know, one day at a time approach that we hear.
I know,
so
and
about.
Here's what gets me. This gentleman can't do it for one day. He can't go one day without something. So he goes, I know, how about a year? It's so counterintuitive, but this is somebody clearly, you know, has a lot of discipline. It's very impressive.
Chad, let me ask you, and Amy, I'm going to put this to you as well. Did you tell people about your resolution, or was it a secret?
Oh, yeah. Everybody knew. I mean, how can you keep that a secret? Chocolate is served, and chocolate is around, and you're not eating it, and they always want to know why. So everybody knew.
Because, Amy, I would figure it's a lot easier to break a resolution that nobody knows about.
It is, and I have to say, I hadn't made the connection till just now, but I have been very mouthy about my running thing this past year, and maybe that's helped me keep it.
Because otherwise, of course, you'd be dreadfully embarrassed if somebody noticed, Amy, those buttons on your
I know.
Chad, congratulations again.
Thank you.
So long.
All right, bye.
Let's go now to Gabriel. Gabriel's in Buffalo, New York.
Hey there.
Hey.
I have a couplet here. It's resolutions made of things to do. Be a better man. Maybe try and give some help to you.
That's very nice, Gabriel. Thank you so much.
Peace.
Here's a couple more of people who've written in with rhyming couplets of resolutions in retrospect they should have made a year ago. Matthew Bortz, if I'm pronouncing that correctly, in Tucson, Arizona. I should have resolved to complain without my grousing life's too plain. And here's another one. This from Sue Pesnicker in, I'm not exactly sure where she is, but anyway. I must cut down on eating dinner. I hope to get a little thinner. Thank you for that, Sue. And another one we have from Mike in Minneapolis. Last year, I resolved not to keep any more resolutions, so I'm not sure whether I've succeeded. Evidently, he didn't get the poetry idea, the rhyming couplet. But it's a good thought. Thank you, Mike, for that. If you have a rhyming couplet on a resolution you should have, in retrospect, made a year ago, the address is TOTN@npr.org. We're also talking about resolutions that you've managed to keep, those that have actually succeeded over the years. If you'd like to join us, the phone number is 800-989-8255, 800-989-TALK. And again, you can send those by email as well. The address is TOTN@npr.org. We'll be back with more of your calls and emails and more from Amy Dickinson of Ask Amy right after the break. I'm Neil Conan. You're listening to Talk of the Nation from NPR News. This is Talk of the Nation. I'm Neil Conan in Washington. We're talking about New Year's resolutions we managed to keep. Our number, if you'd like to join the conversation, is 800-989-8255, 800-989-TALK. What resolution was it? How did you manage to do it? There is also an email challenge. In retrospect, a year ago, what resolution should you have made? We're asking for your answers in the form of a rhymed couplet sent to TOTN at NPR.org. Here's one we got from KC in San Francisco. Put down that glass, I should have done for livers. I have only one. Our guest is Amy Dickinson. She's the author of the Ask Amy syndicated column for the Chicago Tribune. And Amy, when do you start getting New Year's resolutions letters into your column?
I figure about three weeks from today.
Really?
I think the depression starts to set in after that first kind of 10-day glow where probably two-thirds of us don't make it past, say, week two.
Mm-hmm.
And it gets pretty depressing. This is why I think, let's talk about the 10-pound weight loss. That's probably the most common resolution, don't you think?
I would think so, except for maybe the 20-pound weight loss, but go ahead.
Right. Okay, so instead of saying, this year, 10-pound weight loss, if you said, this year, I'm going to focus on an action. Let's say I like the not eating cheese thing, for instance.
Mm-hmm.
You focus on one action that will contribute to healthier, thinner you. That's what you do. You don't put a number to it because I think this is what leads to kind of frenzied January dieting.
Yeah, and it's interesting that some of the people who've called and managed to keep their resolution sort of, you know, is personal improvement, get out and walk a marathon. But on the other hand, they sort of hooked it to some grander altruistic goal.
Right, right. I know. I just think that it's easier if you break it down into these little actions you can take instead of this, like, I'm going to be a better man. Well, I sure hope so. But I love the idea of I'm going to check in with my kids each day.
Hmm.
And maybe you don't manage a 10-minute phone call, but maybe you manage to check in, leave a message, email, telephone one person in your life every single day. Well, that's a great way to kind of become a better person. That's one way.
That's one way. All right.
Yeah.
Let's talk with Gretchen. Gretchen's calling from Toledo, Ohio.
Hi.
Hi.
How are you?
Very well, thank you. Happy New Year, Gretchen.
Happy New Year to you, too. Thank you for taking my call.
Sure.
So the resolution that I managed to keep this year was to quit changing my majors for school.
Wow.
That was something I've had great difficulty with, but I was able to keep the resolution by allowing myself to pick up a double major as well as three minors.
Well, so Whoa. This, Gretchen, this doesn't quite count.
How's that?
Well, you know, double major now, what are you majoring in?
Communication and literature.
Okay. And the three minors?
Speech, art history, and philosophy.
Now, are they all in various combinations your former majors?
For the most part, yes.
So I didn't see a rocket science in there anywhere.
No, definitely not.
And why did you keep switching all the time?
Well, I just wasn't as sure exactly what I'd wanted to do, and I finally decided just to not worry about what I'm going to do when I'm out of school, but worry about what I'm doing while I'm in school.
And how did you manage after all this major switching? I'm sure your parents were thrilled by it, but how did you manage after all that major switching to settle on just two?
One of them had to be kept so I could keep a scholarship, and that was communications.
Mm-hmm.
And the other two, well, literature had always just been a love of mine, and I love to write, and that allowed me to take more writing courses.
Okay. And have you now resolved to make another resolution for next year?
I've thought about maybe trying not to be indecisive in other areas of my life.
We'll okay, Neil, you know what's out. Great about, you know what's great about this, Gretchen?
What's that?
You could have said last year, I have got to stop being so indecisive. It would have been this very amorphous, very laudable goal, but really unfocused. But what you did instead was you chose something that, if achievable, then you could prove that you were no longer indecisive in this one area, and now you're ready to take it elsewhere in your life, which is perfect. That's great.
Well, thank you.
Good luck next year, Gretchen.
Thank you. You as well.
Bye-bye.
Bye.
Here's some more couplets. This from Stephanie Jass at Western Michigan University. Despite my mom's pleas to dear old Kris Kringle, I promise to stay distressingly single. Maybe I'll have better luck in 05, she says. And this from Laura Stitch. Imagine that. I'm too fat. People are getting this idea. Let's get another caller on the line. This is Todd in Ann Arbor, Michigan.
Hello, Neil.
Hello.
This isn't so much a resolution as it is a process to coming to one. And I have to eat some crow for calling you. My wife wanted us to adopt this. Her parents do this every year, which is on New Year's Day. They sit down and look back over the whole year, places they've traveled to, things they've purchased, and the goals they had for that year. And they use that to kind of examine the year and then determine what's more, I don't know, achievable in the next year.
And is this a long list that they have?
Well, you know, we started doing it, and I'm eating crow because I was extremely cynical. You know, the New Year's Day was a day for recovery, not for making lists.
Mm-hmm.
but, yeah, you know, we've got years now of writing down where we've been and things that happened to us throughout the year. And then when you look back at the goals you set, it's like, hey, yeah, you know, we did build a new fence around the house that year. You know, we did fix that bathtub.
So writing it down and having a conversation about it really helped.
Oh, absolutely. And also, I think it's important not only to look forward, but to look backwards.
Hmm. Amy Dickinson, I would be embarrassed to write down or go back and look at a list of the things that I've written down.
I know. And my first thought was that he should ditch those in-laws immediately. But I love the fact that this works for them. And I do. I really like the idea of starting the new year by looking back and choosing to focus on the things that are positive and that you did well. That's great.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, it's amazing because it's really a long list of places we travel to. And also, sometimes we just pick goals that really we do every year anyway. So,
Oh, great.
Going to tie my shoes every morning,
right.
Things like that. Yeah. Okay, Todd. Happy New Year. Good luck with this year's list.
Thank you very much.
Okay, bye-bye. Let's get Jim on the phone. Jim is calling from St. Paul, Minnesota.
Hi, how's it going? I made a resolution a couple of years ago not to lose weight, but rather to not cut my hair until I achieved a certain weight.
Ah, and do they call you Jesus now?
I've got a 12-inch long ponytail. And, of course, that's the case because I told everyone about the resolution. And, of course, they could see that I hadn't achieved that weight, so, well, the hair's long.
So this is your badge of irresolution that you're carrying around with you.
Well, it seemed to me when I was thinking about it that everyone resolves to lose weight. No one ever does it. So it was a New Year's resolution with teeth.
On the other hand, if you think about it, Jim, let that hair get long enough, snip, snip, you've lost some significant weight.
That's been pointed out by my mother many times.
So same resolution this year?
Well, it's 2 years going right now. My last haircut was Christmas Eve of 2 years ago, and it's not coming off until I lose the weight.
How much weight?
I want my goals to weigh approximately what I did when I got out of college, which is probably hopelessly naive of me, but I'm sticking to my guns because, well, you know, you stick your neck out and you make a big enough fool of yourself, you'll get it done eventually.
I suspect you're actually sticking to your guns because you still have all the pants that you wore in college and aren't willing to throw them away.
Have you been snooping in my closet?
But Jim, you know what Jim could do?
Yeah.
He could break it down and tell himself this year, every 5 pounds he loses and keeps off for a prescribed length of time, he snips an inch. You know, something like that, so that he could see a little progress.
Oh, no, far too easy.
Oh, I'm sorry.
Yeah, are you talking to my mother?
Right.
And she's got terrible things to say about your closet, too. Jim, good luck next year, and we hope we're not going to get any calls from the Barbers Union.
Thank you. Have a good day.
Bye-bye, Jim. Amy, a lot of us make resolutions, again, losing weight, quit smoking, things like that. Any advice for those who might, get that pint of Ben and Jerry's suddenly vanished or that, an illicit cigarette? If you've slipped once, that doesn't mean the end of the resolution.
Right. This is so important. And, you know, chronic dieters know all about this. You cannot start every Monday vowing to crash diet. It's just setting yourself up for failure. And what you have to do is permit yourself these little setbacks and slip-ups. And this is, you know, this is one thing I don't like about the Atkins diet. It's like so, it's so specific and it's so narrow that I don't think people, even though it tends to work for people, I don't think they're able to stay on it because a little slip-up can really mess up the whole system.
And so people tend to get discouraged?
Oh, yeah.
Ah. Yeah. I've never encountered that with people trying to lose weight. No.
Oh, no. No.
They're all sunny and...
right.
Anyway, let's get Julie on the line. Julie's calling from Louisville, Kentucky.
Hi. Thanks for taking my call.
Sure.
I resolved a couple of years ago to stop correcting other people's grammar.
Oh, did you do it?
I did. Now I actually find myself slipping up and I'm easier on myself.
Really? you don't start to reunite split infinitives on the fly?
Oh, no. I'm much more accepting. It's made me much more accepting of myself and other people, and I found myself actually listening to what people say more rather than just how they say it.
This is I have to admit, Julie, this is a flaw I share with you.
Oh, do you?
Yes, indeed. I do correct people. Partly it's a result of having two small children or having raised two children. They're not small anymore, but I still correct their grammar, much to their annoyance.
Well, maybe you should start listening to them just a little bit more.
I should probably listen. Have you been listening to them?
We've all been listening at each other.
I suspect that's the case, Julie. what do you do to – how did you manage to make yourself stop doing it? Because it's a compulsion. I share it.
I realized that it was obnoxious and nobody really wanted to hear it.
That's never stopped me.
and B, I just actually started to change the way I listened to other people. So I actually listened to what they were saying rather than just the way they were saying. And I actually found that it made me connect with them more.
And even when you're standing in the line at the supermarket and it says 10 items or less, you don't correct them.
No, you just quietly hate them. quietly inside.
There's a system, you know, you say 10 items or fewer. Julie, thank you. What's your next goal? What are you going to do next year?
Oh, gosh. Well, maybe I should stop telling people how to wear their hair.
That might work, too. You're going to have all kinds of friends. Happy New Year, Julie. Thanks very much for the phone call.
Good luck with that grammar.
Oh, thank you. I think I'm not going to promise. Here's a couplet we got from Larry Cohen in Los Gatos, California. I pledged last year to cease these mailings. Alas, it remains one of my great failings. We're talking about New Year's resolutions kept. You're listening to Talk of the Nation from NPR News. Amy Dickinson, I wonder, what are we trying to do with resolutions? I mean, it's this little moment of what, self-improvement, or are we trying to change our image of ourselves in some way?
You know, I actually went to a little convention, and I appeared on a dais with two other advice columnists, people I admire very much, and I had never met them, and I couldn't wait to meet them. I was stunned to learn that my two colleagues were so cynical about human nature. The first thing they said was, people can't change, people don't change, people don't want to change. And, you know, I thought about my little strapping on my sneakers in the morning thing, and I thought, I completely disagree. People do want to change, and they want to be better. And I love that. If I didn't think that were true, I wouldn't be able to get out of bed. If I didn't think that I could be like a slightly improved version of myself, I wouldn't be able to kind of go to work.
Each day in every way, that sort of thing?
Well, you know what I liked about Julie's resolution, where she decided to stop correcting people, is a very specific, very relatively minor thing she decided to concentrate on. But look at the result. She said she's a better listener. She feels like she's a better person. That is huge. That's better than any 10 pounds anybody else could lose. That's great.
Let's get another caller on the line. This is Lisa. Lisa's calling from Shaker Heights in Ohio.
Hi, Neil.
Hello.
My resolution was that I was going to try and be more patient with my children. I have a 10-year-old and a 7-year-old.
And did you manage to do it?
I have. I really have. And it's kind of amazing. You know, they would be doing normal things kids would do, swinging their leg, you know, picking up and touching whatever it is. If there's a ball around, throwing it back and forth.
Using poor grammar, that sort of thing, yeah.
Well, yeah, that too. And, you know, you'd want to correct them. You'd want to say stop. You'd want to say, come on, let's get moving in the morning. And just by calming myself down and then not getting into it with them made for just more harmonious family atmosphere for everybody.
But obviously this is an incremental thing. I don't think, have they nominated you for sainthood yet?
No. I have plenty of bad days, you know, where you just kind of lose it and you don't want anybody to see you like a screaming lunatic.
Did you tell them ahead of time that this was your New Year's resolution?
Not really that it was my resolution, just that we were going to, as a family, try to all be a little bit more calm together.
Hmm.
You know, trying maybe not to yell so much and all kind of work together a little bit. But nobody knew that it was really my major resolution for myself.
Well, congratulations.
Well, thank you.
Did they keep up their end of the bargain, by the way?
You know what? It all comes back to how the parents behave. I really, you know, if I'm calmer, then they're calmer. So, yeah, it has all helped everybody.
Amy, that's true about a lot of things, isn't it?
Right, it is. And this is another reason we want to do this. We know that these changes start within us, right?
Mm-hmm.
I'm curious about, I wonder if the kids have noticed, they're a little young, but I wonder if they've noticed specifically, boy, Mom, you're different.
You know, I don't know if they noticed I'm different. Everybody in the family notices that it's just a calmer place to be. It's just
that's wonderful. So you turn the heat down in the house.
Absolutely. Yeah.
Yeah.
I really think we have.
Lisa, congratulations.
Thank you very much.
And Happy New Year.
Thank you. Same to you.
And Amy Dickinson, we just have a little time left. You vowed to start running a year ago. You did it. What's your resolution for 2005?
I'm working on some more personality-oriented goals, Neil, that I hesitate to share with too many people because...
Oh, there's nobody listening. Go ahead.
Right. No. Right. Don't Connie Chung me, pal. but it has to do with being a little less entertaining and a little more thoughtful.
Amy Dickinson, thank you so much for being with us today, and good luck with your resolution.
Thank you, Neil.
Amy Dickinson writes the Ask Amy column, syndicated by the Chicago Tribune. She joined us from the studios of member station WAER in Syracuse, New York. Catherine in Bonita Springs, Florida gets the last word. I should have resolved to procrastinate, or is it too late? More after a break. I'm Neil Conan. This is Talk of the Nation, NPR News.